Hey there, Saints. This evening, Leviticus chapter 7. Tonight we're in beginning of verse 11. Let's go before the Lord. Let's bow our hearts. Father, we're so grateful for just this opportunity once again to come before you and to receive, Lord, from this word that is living and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. You discern between the thoughts and intents of the heart. And that's what we want you to do. We want you to instruct us. We want to know, Father, your heart, your will, and what it is that you want from us. And guide us. Guide us through your spirit. Guide us through this word. And so tonight, just simply meet and minister to us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Leviticus chapter 7, beginning in verse 11. Keep in mind that as we've been going through the book of Leviticus, we've understood it's the Old Testament book of worship. It gives us an understanding of the principles of what worship is. We have talked about how Leviticus is broken into two parts. The first half, the first 17 chapters, shows what God desires, in a sense, from me, these outward observances. And then once we get into chapters 18, 27, what God wants from in me. And so what he desires in me, in other words, the whole inward heart, and that's the split. Now, as we've gone through these first seven chapters, we've spent this time only looking at five of these amazing offerings that we've done. And as we begin to look at the first part of it, the first two chapters was simply looking at what these offerings were, in other words, what they are, and the intent of how they, of course, they point to Jesus and what it means to us. And then the second time around, as we're looking at these same five offerings, now it's not the whole issue of just what it is, but now it's how to administer it. So in other words, if you have this desire in your heart to do one of these offerings, and then what these last few chapters have said, now this is what you should do, this is where your heart should be, this is what the application is. You know, in other words, I want to be completely given to the Lord. Light the fire, keep it fresh. You know, these are the things that will help you be full on with the Lord. And so that's what we're looking at. And of course, these five offerings are, three of them are voluntary, three of them are simply free will offerings, and the last two are mandatory. And so the first three, of course, we noticed was the burnt offering, the grain offering, and the peace offering. So the grain offering is completely given over to. The grain offering is this purity. It's the 11-11. And of course, then the peace offering, which is the fellowship offering. And those are all, anytime that you want to just draw closer to God, draw closer to people, that's that mindset. That's what those offerings are. The last two were not free will, they were mandatory. They were the sin offering, the trespass offering. The sin offering, of course, is a generic, deals with the sin nature. The trespass offering then becomes that whole issue of something specifically in my life. Now, when we first were introduced to them, we had the first three offerings, and then we had the last two mandatory. So it ended with a trespass. But as we've gone through the application, it shifted on us. And so I love what the Holy Spirit does, because it started off with the burnt offering, went to the grain offering, and then it completely bypassed this peace offering, the fellowship offering, just went right over it. And then it went to the course, the sin offering, the trespass offering, and now it comes to saving the best for last. And this is the most intense one. This is the one that has the greatest amount of verses dealing with it. And so it's just a powerful, powerful word when it comes to this peace offering. Couple things we're going to be looking at when we take a look at the verses 11 through 12. We're going to be looking at where it talks about here, if he offers it, verse 12, for a thanksgiving. It deals with an area of gratitude in our life. It deals with this attitude of just, I'm so grateful to be part of the body of Christ. I'm so grateful to be in his body, connected to him. But I'm also grateful to be connected with his body, those other people in the body. And I think this is where it's a beautiful thing to recognize. That's what a peace offering is. Fellowship. It's fellowship not only with God, but it's fellowship with men as well. A lot of people want fellowship with God, but I want nothing to do with men. Well, we already looked at that. If you say you love God, you need to love your brother. There's something wrong with your walk. And so we're going to be looking at Thanksgiving. And once we get into verses 12 through 14, it talks about this unleavened and leavened. So like in verse 12, he's going to offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving, unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers. So we're going to be seeing here, in a sense, this whole area of from the thanksgiving to what we would call the truth. It's about being just transparent. It's about being real. There's this area where we're going to be looking at both the leavened and the unleavened. As areas far as the holiness that we want to pursue, but yet the reality is, hey, I'm not perfect. And so we're going to be looking at that aspect of what brings us peace and what increases our fellowship with one another. Then when we get to verses 15 through 18, we're going to see here it's this area of the timing. And so we note that here, when it talks about in verse 15, that the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering shall be eaten the same day. So you have this urgency in the sense that where, okay, we want to deal with it. I don't want to be lackadaisical, but at the same time, you want to eat the same day. But it does say later on in verse 16, that the sacrifice, the offering is of our voluntary. It shall be eaten the same day that he offers it. But on the next day, the remainder may also be eaten. So we're going to look at the timing of when these offerings are, of course. Then verse 17, the remainder of the flesh, on the third day must be burnt. You can't wait forever. So we're going to be looking at Mary, the timing of what brings peace and how this whole thing of dealing with sin in our own lives bring about a greater fellowship. And then when we hit verses 19 through 21, we're going to see in a sense where it talks about touching things, where it says in verse 18, any of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offering that is eaten on verse 19, then the flesh that touches any unclean thing shall not be eaten. So in other words, if it's outward, how close are you to that thing which is unclean? And so if I'm touching those things in my personal life and it's going to affect everything, a little leaven leavens a lump. If I have uncleanness in one area, it's going to bring uncleanness throughout. So we're going to be looking at the area of what God calls for reverence, what we should be doing, looking to the Lord. And so just this warning, don't get too close on the outward to those things that are unclean. And then, of course, after that, we're going to be seeing where then in verse 22 through 27, where all of a sudden it's now the tasting of it, where he says, okay, I don't want you to, you know, recognize, don't eat the fat, don't eat the blood. So he deals with that in a sense, you know, where these areas that are life-giving, God says, these things are set apart. These things are mine. The fat is mine. The blood is mine. The blood is part of that life. And he says, I want you to put a great honor to those things, but be careful what you internalize. There's some things that just belong to me. And I think it's so important that we recognize we don't need the fat. We don't need the blood. So there's things on the outward, what we touch, but things on the inward, what we shouldn't consume. And I think those things are necessary. And then, of course, when we get to verses 29 through 36, it deals with that whole area of the transfer where it says, speak to the children of Israel, saying, he who offers the sacrifice of his peace offering to the Lord shall bring his offering of the Lord from the sacrifice of his peace offering. His own hands shall bring the offering made by fire to the Lord. So we're going to see this transfer. It's literally this. It talks about more than any other offering, that this one peace offering includes the one who gives the offering. He literally brings the breast. He brings these things to the priest. And so just this beautiful picture of what it is. And of course, we end with just that the summary in verses 38 and 39, where it says, this is the law of the burnt offering, the grain offering, and so on and so on. So it's important to recognize that when we look to this peace offering, it is the most in-depth out of all of them that's there. The Spirit chooses to save it for last. And so when we're looking at this offering, I think it's important to see that this peace offering is really about fellowship, about all other things. It's about, you know, when you have this offering, God gets his part, the priest gets his part, you get your part, and you share it with your family. And so, and your friends, this is the fellowship offering. This is such a neat thing, because when you talk about peace, God said what? Oh, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. You're going to have peace with God. You're going to have peace with man. And that comes through the work of Jesus Christ. So we see how he exemplifies this so perfectly. But when it comes to this, as we've already noted, the person who is going to be giving this peace offering, he literally has this active part Let me read you again, verse 29 and 30. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, he who offers the sacrifice of his peace offering to the Lord shall bring his offering to the Lord from the sacrifice of his peace offering. His own hands shall bring the offerings made by fire to the Lord. So after the priest does the sacrifice, he himself then takes these areas and takes these sacrifices and brings them to the priest at the altar. This is an incredible thing that he literally has a part in this. He's doing the work with it, and he's not he's actually fellowshipping with the priest as he's doing this. Here, I'm taking this. You've done the sacrifice. You've cut it up. Now I'm bringing this piece to the altar so that you can do the work. And so you see this incredible unity that comes in the application of this. Not just what it is to have fellowship, but what it is to, how do you apply it? How do we really get our heads and our heart into, I want to have peace with God, and I want to have peace with men. And this passage nails it. Just completely nails it. There is a passage I want you to be aware of, actually found in the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, and it's found in chapter 10. A couple of verses, because what's interesting is that Leviticus is the Old Testament book of worship, and we see that Hebrews is the New Testament book of worship. It's the sort of the twins in a well, in, as you would, brother and sister or something. One's a little older, one's a little newer. And so the Hebrews has this area where the last part deals with fellowship, which is really incredible, because the fellowship is the last one he deals with in the sacrifice as well. The same thing when it comes to Hebrews at the end of it. But he makes this statement, and I want to read it to you and just use this as an underlining, undergirding, as we look to what this peace offering is in Leviticus 7. But what we're reading here is in Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. This is the foundation. It makes this statement, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And so I think it's important that here, where Hebrew talks about, we look to this area of, I don't know if you've ever heard people say, don't forsake the fellowship of the other brother. Don't forsake the fellowship of the brother. And they say, well, I'm doing good. I'm learning, I'm growing, I'm doing all these things. But what happens is that you miss verse 24. It's before the do not forsake the fellowship. Verse 24 says, let us consider one another in order to stir up good works. It's about the body of Christ. It's about building up the body of Christ. It's about edifying the body of Christ. And so what we do in this time of fellowship is we're considering one another. And so think about this. When God brings you into his body, into his family, you're now part of that body. You're part of the head, which he directs and he controls, but you're also there integrated with the rest of the body. You got the hand, you got the foot, you got the eye, you got the mouth, you got those other parts. And you can't say, well, I'm just going to just take off, I'm the hand, I'm just going to put myself over here. When you take yourself over, you remove yourself from the body, it's taking the limb, removing from a tree. You don't have that area. One of the things that is fascinating to me is that when you have this area of if you've ever been out in the woods and you've made a campfire, but what you do is this, is when you add another piece of wood to the fire, you don't stick it to the edge of the fire. You slap it right smack dab in the middle of it so that everything catches. I don't know if you've ever saw a fire after it was burned out or something, or maybe in the morning you go back to it and you see where all of a sudden there's a burn on the edge, but the rest of it is not burned. It just went out. Or if you have a log and you're wanting the fire to go out, what do? You separate it. If there's one that's on fire and you move the one coal over here, the log over here, that coal eventually does what? It's not generating the heat from the rest of the fire. It goes out. And that's what's so important about recognizing this peace offering, fellowship with God and fellowship with one another, and how important it is. And so we see the whole issue in verse 24 of Hebrews 10 is, let's consider one another. Now, why do we consider one another? He says, well, to stir up love. Isn't that incredible? He says, you say you love God, you say you love people. Well, you need to consider others. You need to look to where they are, and you need to do that. And then to literally just stir up love. And it's not this bushy-gushy feeling. You know, love, of course, if you look at the biblical definitions of 1 Corinthians 13, that's love. It's patient, it's kind, it's all these things that we actively do for one another. And so it's so important to see here that we consider one another. This is peace with God. This is peace with man. Consider one another to stir up love. And then it says this, to stir up good works. All of a sudden, it's not just love, but if you want to say, I'm doing these things for the Lord, well then understand, don't forsake the fellowshipping. Because if you're considering the family of God, consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, is as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and much more as you see the day approaching. So I think it's important to say, you know what, I'm part of the body of Christ, and so I need to be an active part of the body of Christ. You understand, I'm not in the cast somewhere, I'm not discarded somewhere. If I'm part of the body of Christ, the head is supposed to direct me to minister to the rest of the body and to be used for the kingdom. And so I think it's so important that the author of Hebrews is really warning of this danger of this selfish worship. It's all about me. It's all about, you know, I don't want to be a part of this body. I don't want to be a part of that group. I'm me by myself. And so I think it's so important to see that there's a lot of times that believers are like, I don't want to be a part of the body. I don't want to access the body. I don't want to minister to the body. And the Lord says, that's why you're in the body. You understand? I have you here for a reason. And so the emphasis is really in contributing to the church. What can I add to it? How can I contribute? And so when you're part of a church, when you're part of a group, it's what is my role in this group? What can I do to the group? How can I help build up the group? And so it's not always, what can this group do for me? You know, and I think that's the danger in our society now is I get calls and calls and calls, you know, asking, do we give this away? Do we give that away? Do we give this away? And it's like, no, we don't, you know. But if there are people who have a need, guess what? In the church, there are always people to take care of that need, which is a beautiful thing. So keep in mind that as we do this, we can grow by ourselves to a certain degree. You know, I can do my own studies, I can do my own reading, I can do my own devotions, and I'm going to grow. However, in the body of Christ, what happens is this, it says it's iron sharpening iron. You understand that if I'm always by myself, every so often I'll question what I do. But if I'm with others, there are others who are going to question me much more often. And they won't let me slide the way I would let me slide. And so, you know, there's this area of correcting. And it's just one of those things. I saw a meme the other day where this man was talking to his wife. And he says, listen, you know, you've been correcting me for 28 years now. And she looked at him and said, 29. You know? And so it's funny to see that there's a point where we do need to be corrected. You have to have that area where I can let it slide. I can think I'm good enough the way it is. And other Christians will look and say, are you really satisfied with that? And so it's where that iron sharpens iron. So I think it's so important because in the church, what? Well, there's a multitude of counsel. And there's more than one person that really is praying for me and has the desire of what I am. And so one, if I'm by myself, I won't build myself up as much as I could as far as others sharpening me. But the other time is I can't build up the rest of the body. How am I going to build up the body if I'm not there? And so it's an important thing to recognize what this peace offering is, what this peace offering makes. And so when we come to this area, I think it's important to look to just what it is and what it desires to do. So when you have this peace offering, it's peace with God and it's peace with man. Now, let's look at these areas that we've talked about initially. In verse 11 through 12, it says this. This is the law of the sacrifice of the peace offering, which he shall offer to the Lord. If he offers it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, cakes of blended flour mixed with oil. Thanksgiving. I think it's so important that if he offers it for a thanksgiving, if you offer it out of gratitude, And I think that's a neat thing is you know, here's my heart, Lord. And I'm so grateful I'm part of your body. And the thing about being grateful that you're part of his body can't just be I'm grateful that I'm connected to the head. Do you understand? It's the body. You're connected to the body, not just connected to the head. The whole body is connected to the head, but you're also part of this whole big thing called the church. And I think it's so important because one is, I know we're grateful for the head because if it wasn't for Jesus and his work, we wouldn't even be part of this. We couldn't have access to him. But at the same time, he's put us into the body. Are you grateful for that? And I think that's a neat thing. It's something to really look to. Say, Lord, where's my heart with this? Because one, I want to express my gratitude to God for being connected to the head. But I also want to share my gratitude with others as far as being part of this incredible thing called the church. And so when we all get together and say, wow, I'm thankful for this, I'm thankful for this. And it becomes just this incredible thing where it builds on one another. And so rather than just me being thankful here, I find something else to be thankful. It's an amazing thing when we build on that. One person is thankful here, one person is thankful there, one person is thankful here. There are times when we have prayer meetings, and it doesn't happen always, but sometimes God just says, you know, I want this prayer meeting just to be a prayer of thanks. I say, just whatever you're thankful for, just let it out. And it's amazing. Those prayer meetings usually last the longest out of all the prayer meetings, and the people don't want to go. They go, oh, I want to say I'm thankful for this, and I want to say I'm thankful. And it becomes this avalanche of gratitude when you're around others. And so it's not just letting God know I'm thankful for you, but it's wanting others to know that I'm sharing this attitude of gratitude with others. I want them to know that while I'm there, I want to be a blessing to them as well. Not just a blessing to God, a blessing to his kingdom, but I want to be a blessing to this body. I want to build up this body. And I think this is what's so important of this peace offering, this fellowship of gratitude. One, are you grateful, one, to the head? Are you grateful that you're part of the body? And so when we see this, it's important that you look and you say, you know, we've been given so much, do you want to share it? Remember when David was there in 1 Samuel 25, he approached this man by the name of Nabal. He sent his guys there. He said, listen, we've watched over your sheep and you have all that. Whatever comes to your hand, give it to the guys. Share your blessings. And of course, Nabal wouldn't, you know, and you guys know the rest of the event that took place there. But I think it's important is the whole idea of sharing. God has blessed you and blessed you and blessed you. You want to share that gratitude with others. You want to share those blessings with others. And so it's important to see that one, with this peace offering of the fellowship offering, one, verse 12, he offers it with the thanksgiving, gratitude. The next thing is this, in verses 12 through 14, it makes this statement where it says here, verse 12, if he offers it with thanksgiving, then he shall offer it with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, unleavened cakes. We know what that is. It means without leaven, without sin. Unleavened cakes mixed with oil, 11 wafers anointed with oil, or cakes of blended flour mixed with oil. Besides the cakes as his offering, he shall offer leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. Now, this is interesting. I titled this section The Truth because it deals with both unleavened and leavened. I only want to say I'm giving the unleavened. I'm giving the purity, I'm giving the purity, then giving the purity. And I think it's important to say within this cakes, there's both the leaven and the unleavened. That the process of my holiness is a desire that I want to give to God. Does that make sense? I want to give to God the very best of who I am, the path I want to walk in righteousness, those things I give to God. But the reality is what you all experience. You understand? That's the leaven. I want to give the unleavened. That's my heart. I want to do that. And so you have that unleavened bread, which is part of it. But the reality is there's also leaven. And I love that because that's truth. That when we look at one another, we have a desire for holiness. But the issue is in fellowship what? Well, you may have never seen this in me, but sin is present in me. Now, if you've ever witnessed that, Believe it. It's true. If you've never witnessed it, you will eventually. Just stay here long enough and you'll see. But what happens is we have a desire for holiness, but sin's present in me. And so within this fellowship, we are going to make mistakes. And so what I love is this. It's about being real. It's about being truthful. And so we all desire holiness, but yet we're going to fall short of that glory. And so we do come to this. And so I love it when this peace offering, it gives you these two, both of these cakes. Because true fellowship is what? It's not saying, hey, we're just all holy and there's no problems. Because true fellowship is what? We have problems, and then we have to do what? Then we got to ask for forgiveness. There has to be repentance. There has to be restoration. Do you understand? That's part of being real. That's part of coming into this fellowship and admitting that, you know what? I'm leavened. You know what? There's parts of my spiritual walk that are just rotting. They're not where they should be. Part of the old man is still there. And so when it comes to this area, both with God and with the fellowship that we see here, the truth of what it is, be real. There's both the unleavened and the leavened. We move from there into what we call the timing. The timing here in verses 15 through 18, let's read it through. The flesh of the sacrifice. So we understand gratitude. The reality, there's both leaven and unleavened. And now verse 15, the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering is a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offers his sacrifice. But the next day, the remainder may also be eaten. So the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day must be burned with fire. Verse 18. And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering is eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted, nor shall it be imputed to him. It shall be an abomination to him who offers it, and the person who eats of it shall bear the guilt. In other words, I'm going to now say I've been disobedient. I've taken this on the third day. And so when it comes to the timing, I think it's important. We've looked at this kind of, we've touched on it in the past, but let's look at what we're seeing here just in this passage, where all of a sudden we see verse 15, it shall be eaten the same day. When you recognize that you want peace, and there's areas of leaven and unleavened. When I see the areas of leaven, you know what I want to do? I want to deal with it right away. When it comes to this, I don't want to wait on it. I don't want to wait around on it. I want to make it right. I'm going to deal with it. So, but the other thing is this. I love it because if there's an issue where I'm working through it, God graciously allows another day. Okay, Lord, I didn't get it right. Another day. Yeah, you got another day. And this is the beautiful thing. However, there is this warning of don't just think it's perpetual, that you can just stop working on it. I can just eat it next day, next day, next day. No, by the time you get to the third day, he said that you're now done. You've got a time limit on it. But I love what God does. He's, you know, when you're working through, he says, there's another day. There's another day. We're going to inch a little closer to righteousness, inch a little closer. The area of sanctification. So I love this with the Lord. I love this with the timing, because sometimes we want to make sure that we're at that point of, I want to deal with this, the areas of my life. I want to deal with that. But at the same time, I don't want to be lackadaisical. And I think it's important to recognize that when it comes to this time of the this peace offering, of course, when we're partaking it with everyone else, I think one of the things is this: partake of the fellowship while it's here, you know, because it may not always be here, you know. So while you have it, utilize it. Don't think we're just gonna, you know, pop it in a Tupperware and store it for a while. And that's not what he's looking at. When you have that time of fellowship, make the most of it. And so it's just a beautiful section here as far as the timing and where it's to be partaken of. You want to deal with it. If you're dealing with issues, deal with it as immediate as you can. if you're still working on it and there's left over, then he says, yeah, you can deal with it the next day. I love that about the Lord. Now, moving from that, we see here there's this area where in verses 19 through 21, it's about this reverence for holiness. And I think when it comes to fellowship, there should be in you know, as we call ourselves Christians, we're not just a club that calls ourselves Christians. You know, it's not the YMCA kind of a thing or the YWCA. We're Christians. There should be a pursuit of holiness. Let's take a look at what he says in verses 19 through 21. It says this, as you look at the touch. It says, the flesh that touches any unclean thing shall not be eaten. It shall be burned with fire. And as for the clean flesh, all who are clean may eat of it. But the person who eats the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering that belongs to the Lord while he is unclean, that person shall be cut off from his people. Verse 1, moreover, the person who touches any unclean thing, such as a human uncleanness, an unclean animal, or an abomination, or an abominable unclean thing, and who eats of the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering that belongs to the Lord, that person shall be cut off from his people. So understand that it's about an outward touch. This is something that, keep in mind that this is an external touch. This isn't internal, this is external. I'm touching the unclean. I'm either the sacrifice is unclean or I'm touching something unclean. So you don't partake of it then. If I'm unclean, I have to let it go. And so really what we're looking at is in this whole area of fellowship is, do you have a desire to stay away in your personal life from that which is unclean? It's kind of a no-brainer. You know, I don't want to bring that into the body of Christ. I don't want to bring that spirit into the body of Christ. And so, you know, you are that one slave whom you choose to obey. If you're choosing to obey sin, if you're choosing to go after uncleanness, you're bringing that into the fellowship. And it's so important to, I think, where we're looking at this as far as this touch, you know, desiring purity in my personal walk. See, we all want to have this purity in our religious walk while we're with one another. But the real key to fellowship is this, is when I'm by myself, am I still pursuing righteousness? Do I still desire purity? And I think it's so important to say, you know, I want to depart from anything that would be considered unclean. So in my personal life, I don't want to even go near that which is unclean. Do you understand? It's not like, well, this is unclean, so I get really, really close and you know, pretend like I'm getting close, but I'm not really touching it. You know, we're deceiving ourselves. Eventually something happens where you have that mindset, something's going to happen. So it's important, don't even seek to get close to those things which are unclean. The basic message from verses 19 through 21 is this. Sin is serious. You know, when I bring that uncleanness, when I bring that impurity into this, and I bring that into the fellowship, and I want to partake of this with everyone, guess what? I'm going to be missing out, and I'm literally in my spirit, I can't have the great joy, sincere joy, because what? I'm masking it, because I already know I'm playing with the stuff that is unclean. Where the scripture says here, I should be cut off. I really have to make sure that if there's areas of my life, I need to get it right with God. I should be desiring these things. And I think as we look to this, it's that whole area of where I think I want to have this accountability with my brothers and sisters to say, you know what, I'm going to talk to you about my life. We've looked at the accountability before, but that whole area of, you know, I want to be accountable as far as going after the things that are pure, going after the things that are holy. That's what I want. And say, hey, are you doing that in your personal life? And so it's just a neat area where you recognize when it comes to this unclean, what? The little leaven is a whole lot. It when people say, well, I'm sinning and it only affects me, it's a lie. It's just a lie. You can't have sin. You can't have leaven and not have it leaven everything and all the relationships that you're in. And so when it comes to this, I think it's so important that when it comes to this touch, and I love this, it's about a true reverence for the things that are holy. After the outward, now all of a sudden, it's going to shift to the inward. where we'll call it the taste, beginning in verse 22. In verses 22 through 27, it makes this declaration. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, you shall not eat any fat of the ox or the sheep or the goat, the fat of the animal that dies naturally, the fat of the one that is torn by the wild beast may be used in any other way, but you shall by no means eat it. For whoever eats of the fat of the animal of which men offer up an offering made by fire to the Lord, the person who eats it shall be cut off from his people." So keep in mind, God says the fat is mine. You don't get to have it. It's not a part of you. We also see here that he goes on to say, verse 26, "Moreover, you shall not eat any blood in any of your dwellings, whether of a bird or a beast. Whoever eats any blood, that person shall be cut off from his people." And so we begin to see here, it's about really partaking the inward. And so it's not just the external, making sure that I don't go there, but also the internal. And what happens is there's certain things that God says, listen, this isn't for you. I have a word, and you may think, yeah, you're an exception. You're not an exception. That God says the fat is the best of the animal. It's the best. And he says, the best is mine. And so if you want to say, I deserve the best, well, then are you above God? Do you understand that when you recognize you deserve the best, not me, you. And so when it comes to that, you're thinking, well, why does God deserve the best? Well, because he's God. It's a way of glorifying. It's a way of honoring him. And then he goes on to say, listen, what I'm telling you is as far as the fat is mine. I know that, you know, the fat is what brings all the flavor, and everybody loves the fat and the gravy. We've talked about that. But I think it's important to realize that it's about obedience to the word of God. When he says, this is mine, the best is mine, you have to understand that he's worthy of that best. It isn't something that, well, you know what, I'll give you on this day, but on these days it's mine. No, the best is his. And so that's how we take that, you know, where he talks about the tithe. You take the very best of what's there, and you give me that first fruits of what's here, and then the rest is yours. But it's recognizing, I'm giving you everything. You give to me a portion of what is, but you give to me back the best of everything that I've supplied to you. And so it's telling God, yeah, you deserve the best. The other thing that he talks about is the blood. Now, the scripture teaches us this, the life is in the blood. And so when it comes to that, I think it's so important to recognize, to say, listen, the life-giving nature of blood makes it holy and set apart. In the same way the fat, God says, is the best, that makes it set apart. It's God's. And when it comes to this area of partaking on the internal, be careful, because there's certain things God says, this is mine. This isn't for you to partake. This is for you always to give to me, always to give to me, always to give to me, and not to take it to myself. And so I love this area as far as here we look at, there's two things. He says, just make sure that you avoid these things, because these things are set apart for me. These things are set apart for holiness, and it's dealing with this whole issue of life. And so what I love is this. When the scripture talks about the life is in the blood, I've actually done some research in it, and I found out that when a man and a woman conceive a child, that within 7 days, there's blood. The lily, the baby already has blood. It's 7 days. There's already blood forming in this baby. And what I love is this, that the people who say, you know, when is it really life? What is it really life? You know, they call it a fetus, but what is it really life? And I'm gonna tell you, I can tell emphatically according to scripture, if you believe what it says, the life is in the blood, within 7 days, I would say that's life. Now, I don't think anyone would ever know that they are pregnant before 7 days. So, you know, that's God, that's his word. And I love that, because if you take a look and say, is it life? Is it life? Is it life? Well, if God says that the life is in the blood, then I would say, yes, it's life. And then I don't have to look at any other definition. I just have to look to what God says. But he says about the blood, this is life. And as it's the life of the animal, you don't get to take that. You know what I mean? That's set apart for me. And so it has to be set apart. It's not for you to partake of. And so I love this section of this whole area of tasting, because God literally says there's a lot that's yours, but there's some things that aren't. And you have to recognize that there are some things that belong only to God. And so because he's worthy of it, there should be a reverence, there should be a desire to give those things only ultimately to the Lord. And then we begin to see this, the next section in verse 29 through 36, we call it a transfer. But let's read it through, because you're giving these different parts to different things. And so it says in verse 29, speak to the children of Israel, saying that he who offers the sacrifice of his peace offering to the Lord shall bring his offering to the Lord from the sacrifice of his peace offering. Verse 30, we've covered this a couple times. His own hand shall bring the offerings made by fire to the Lord. The fat with the beast he shall, the fat with the breast he shall bring, and the breast shall be waved as a wave offering before the Lord, and the priest shall burn the fat on the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons. Also, the right thigh you shall give to the priest as a heave offering from the sacrifices of your peace offering. He among the sons of Aaron who offers the blood of the peace offering and the fat shall have the right thigh for his part. For the breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the heave offering I have taken from the children of Israel, from the sacrifices of their peace offerings, and I have given them to Aaron the priest and to his sons from the children of Israel by a statute forever. Verse 35. This is the consecrated portion for Aaron and his sons from the offerings made by fire to the Lord. On the day when Moses presented them to minister to the Lord as priests, the Lord commanded this to be given to them by the children of Israel on the day that he anointed them as a statute forever throughout their generations. And so now we see this transfer. You give this to the priest. Uniquely, what happens is this. There's two portions that you look at. There is the breast and there is the right thigh. The breast, if you will, is the area over the heart. You know, you call it the ribs, but you give him that section of this is the area over the heart. And the right thigh, it's the area of the strength of the walk. So in other words, it's the heart and the strength of the walk. And that is really where, you know, when you have those that are helping minister to you, you want to give them two things. Here's my heart, sincerely, and I'm going to give to you the strength of my walk. When you have this example of what Jesus did, what did Jesus do? The disciples would walk like him. Paul said, I'm an imitator of Christ. And then he would tell everyone else, imitate me as I imitate Christ. You understand? It's about giving God your heart, giving God the best of your walk, the strength of your walk. And this is what we do with the body of Christ as we're sharing. Uniquely, what happens is this. It talks about two different types of offering. It calls a wave offering and it's called a heave offering. So take a look at what it talks about. In verse 34, it says, the breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the heave offering. So what does it mean? Well, uniquely is this. A wave offering is an offering that you lift up and you bring it to and fro. To and fro. This is waving to the Lord. And so the heave offering is you lift it up, and you bring it down, and you lift it up, and you bring it down, and you lift it up, and you bring it. It's just constantly lifting it up to the Lord. One is this area is just a celebration. Have you ever seen those people that when they're celebrating, it's this, you know, all that celebration. But this other is just giving it to the Lord, giving it to the Lord, giving it to the Lord. And so when you give it to the Lord, keep in mind the Lord says, you give it to me when you give it to the priest. And I love that about it because, you know, when we take a look at that when those who live with the gospel should be provided by the gospel. And I think it's important to do that. And when it happens, it's a beautiful thing. But when you give to the church or when you give to those that are ministering, you're actually saying you're giving it to God. And so it was God's way of providing for the priest. Because remember now, the priest didn't have all the lambs. They had a certain parlance. Well, in Joshua, we'll figure that out. But us guys that are going through Joshua, we already know this. There's going to be a dividing of the land. And so when you have the land, there are going to be certain cities called the cities of refuge. Those will be given over to the priests. And the priests will have some other smaller cities. But they don't get territory. They get the city. They get a little bit of farmland outside the city. But they don't have territory. They don't have all the area for sheep and goats and herds and planting big fields. They don't have that. And so it's important to say, because they're giving themselves over to the Lord. But what the Lord is their reward. The Lord is their sustenance. And he says, and this is what's going to help provide for that. As they're ministering to you in the spiritual, you can give them of the physical. And so when we recognize what is the more important is the spiritual. They're giving you the greater gift. You're giving them the lesser gift. At the same time, it's providing for the spiritual, providing for your need. The physical is providing for their need. So God has a way of just working this out so perfectly. But I love the fact that we see this priest portion. So God gets a portion. The priest gets a portion. You get a portion. And so when it comes to this, I want you to understand verse 35 makes the statement, this is the consecrated portion. When you give that portion to Aaron, it becomes holy. It's no longer just, hey, I'm just giving you this. It literally be God says, this is now set apart for me. This is set apart for my kingdom. And it's an amazing thing to recognize how God, just in so humbling a way, he takes care of everything that, you know, the church has need of. And so we take a look at this. It's just a beautiful thing to see what he does. But so you have this transferring. You're bringing the certain things. The priest does the sacrifice. But these two things, the thigh and the breast, you actually bring that to the priest himself. Says, this is now your gift. This is now your gift. You personally, by hand, deliver that. And so it's a powerful statement when it comes to this peace offering. That one, it's not just the priest who says, I'm doing all the work. I'm taking this. It's like, no, I'm gonna give this to you. You give it back. You bring it back. And so it's a huge thing of recognizing that ministry that is being done. And then as we see here, the end of the summary in verse 37 through 38, it makes this declaration. This is the law of the burnt offering, the grain offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering, the consecrations, and the sacrifices of the peace offering, which the Lord commanded Moses on Mount Sinai on the day when he commanded the children of Israel to offer their offerings to the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai. So basically we see the summary, the whole totality of what he's been saying. This is the law. This is what I want you to do. This is what the offering is, and this is how the offering should be applied. And I think it's important. You have to have both. You've got to recognize that if there's a desire in my heart, one of these offerings fit it. Do you understand? I want to be completely given to the Lord. Burnt offering. It fits it. I want purity. Grain offering. Unleavened. It fits it. Do you understand? There's always this offering that's going to fit this passion of my heart. But then he goes on to say, listen, now if you have a passion in your heart, I'm going to show you what this offering is. But now I'm going to show you also on how you apply it. So you just don't think that, hey, this is my passion, I can do it any way I want. No, I'll help direct you. If this is your passion to be completely given over to, this is what you do. You keep the fire burning. You keep it fresh where all of a sudden you take the old ashes away. You don't need those anymore. You always keep it new. You keep it renewed. And I love that about the Lord. Every one of these positions of my heart, he guides me to say, if you want this, here's how you take it to the next step. Here's how you apply it. And so I love what he does here. This is the law, the burnt offering, the grain offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering, and the consecrations and the sacrifice of the peace offerings, which the Lord commanded Moses on Mount Sinai. So we begin to see that this is just this whole area where all of a sudden this is the beginning of worship. And so as we get into next week, as we get into chapter 8, all of a sudden we're going to see now the consecrations that come to the priest. This is going to be where, keep in mind that the New Testament calls us all, we're a kingdom of priests. So we recognize that. It should have been Israel what we are. So we're all, in a sense, these priests, so we can recognize as we're ministers to God for any part of his body, what do you want from me? So if I'm going to step up and minister to a friend, or I'm going to minister to my wife, or I'm going to minister to my children, if I'm going to minister in any way, this is a real good way of saying consecration. And so what do I want my own life? What do I want God to do in my life? And so keep in mind, both go through chapter 8, start reading. It's a powerful thing. We're finally moving on from these five offerings. And it's hopefully for you guys, it's been a great journey to recognize what this is. And now we're going to move on to continue to look at all of these things, because until we get into chapter 17, it's still external. All these things are external. So eventually it's going to be internal what he wants from me, but all these are an outward source of what he wants. So Father, we're so grateful for just this passage. We're so grateful for your heart and your goodness and just what it is that you do, how you speak to us. And Lord, many times we have a desire to draw close. There are other times, Lord, where we recognize that we have a sin nature. We recognize that we have a specific sin that has to be dealt with. And we're so grateful, Lord, that your word makes a way. It makes a way that no matter what we want to do to draw closer to you, that you have given us access. And then, Father, you've given us information and just guidance on how to do that. And just you and your wisdom, Lord, you're just so wise and you're so good. And it's no wonder that this is a book of worship. This is a book of us wanting to glorify you and draw closer to you. And then within that, draw closer to the body. So we ask, Lord, that you would just kind of impart to us an understanding of really what it means to consider one another and to recognize that we are all part of this body, that we are here to stir up love, that we are here to stir up good works. And that's what we want to do as far as being a part of your church and your body. And so, you know, much more as that day approaches, Lord. We just want to truly give ourselves over to you. And we don't want to be those that, you know, truly don't give ourselves over to this fellowship, but we separate ourselves, Lord. Let us be apart. Let us seek to have peace with you and peace with your body. And truly, as we can now have fellowship with you, give us an understanding of what this fellowship to the body truly is. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.